Mel Chandley of Quantum Life, welcome.
Morning, how are you?
We were just saying there, where did April go?
April is, it's frightening.
When is the last time you were in, it's over a month so since we spoke about Babylon.
Yes.
God, I don't know.
By the rivers of Babylon.
By the rivers of Babylon. Anyway, you are here today to tell us all, we're going to go one bit further with the savings.
Yes.
Savings and savings products, right?
Yes.
Hit me.
So last time, shall I qualify that? What we did was we spoke about kicking off that savings habit, getting into that habit of creaming the 10% off whatever comes in the door every week or every fortnight or every month. Before anything starts, take 10% off and put it away. So hope you all had great fun doing that and trying it out and see did it work. And
I actually tried it.
And looking at the amount you had left at the end of the week or month or whatever, and it's astonishing how quick it can build.
It does, because I actually, the last day you were on, I went online and I opened another current account with the bank I'm with.
Okay.
With that purpose in mind, because I said, Ursula didn't, she's shaking her head, she forgot to do it. But yeah, and I did, and
that's not why I'm shaking my head. I'm laughing at the heading here. We ran a story earlier, cabinet are going to be meeting, the government cabinet are meeting in Cork today. And the farmers are going to be protesting there in all likelihood because the beef farmers want a Brexit package.
Okay.
And I've just got a press release from the IFA which says, cabinet meeting moved, the government can run but they cannot hide.
Oh, for God's sake.
So that was making me laugh. Little amuses the innocent here.
Edge of the seat stuff.
It really does. But anyway, so I opened it up with the purpose of, and to be fair, I was able to put stuff into it. Now I had to dip into it, but the money was there.
Yes.
As opposed to having to reach for the credit card or whatever.
Yes.
There was a little bit there, which was great.
Yeah.
It does great. And it does make you feel a bit better.
It does. So here's the follow on from that. Where do we put the 10%? That's the big question. So we've talked on the show before about savings accounts and savings products and savings funds and all kinds of different options. And obviously in this country and many European countries where interest rates are very, very poor, it's very difficult to get a return on your money. Okay, so you'd often hear the cliche is people are looking for a return of their money as opposed to return on their money. So people are quite happy to get their money back now, particularly since the crash. When they invest in something, they're nervous. Will they even get their money back? Never mind, will they make anything on it?
Because that's the danger. You could technically lose money.
Correct. So where people start is they start at a very high level. They start with government bonds, which are a very high level of saving, which the ordinary Joe and Mary soap in the street rarely get the opportunity to invest in government bonds, the highest form of securitized savings product, I suppose, that you could find in this country. But you come down below that and you're looking at bank deposits, basically would be the most common securitized savings product available in this country. And we all know bank deposits have poor, poor returns for the last number of years. And that's not the bank's fault entirely. I mean, you could be cynical and say, you know, they're lending, they're charging 4 or 5% for a mortgage, and they're only giving me 0.05 truppence halfpenny on my savings, which seems a little bit unfair. But that's the system we live in. So money on deposit, I don't think that's going to be anything new to listeners this morning, that money on deposit attracts little or no interest. Okay, and even if you are lucky enough to get interest paid on your account, you then pay dirt tax to the government, deposit interest retention tax on top of that. So by the time that's taken, I mean, you're not ringing the travel agent, that's for sure, and booking your summer holiday with what you get. So we must start with the advice as deposit accounts, obviously for security. And I mentioned earlier, people want the return of their money as opposed to a return on it. So deposit accounts, which still carry a fairly high level of guarantee from the state up to 100,000 euros. And if you're married or cohabiting, you should be able to avail of twice that. So you could have 200,000 euros in a bank on a joint account basis with yourself and your spouse or partner. And that would be safe, pretty much guaranteed by the state. But you probably wouldn't get any return on that money or very, very little. So then you go to the next level. So what's after bank deposit? Where can I make a return on my money? So that is the big question. where can I make a return on my money and keep my money safe so that I'm going to not lose anything. So here's the big question. The big question around anything to do with savings or investment is risk. So we would classify risk in quantum life, we would classify risk always as a permanent loss of my capital, a permanent loss of my money. That's what risk is to us. So when you look at an investment, you'd say, right, what are the chances of me losing all of my money on this investment? And that's quite rare. It is quite rare to find, anywhere in the world, it's quite rare to find an investment product where you could lose all of your money. Now, we spoke probably last year, I think possibly briefly, about the likes of Bitcoin, you know, like penny stocks, you know, oil exploration stocks, stuff like that. Very, very high risk investment products. Yes, of course, you could lose all of your money on those, no doubt about it. But there are very few other investment type products like funds and that, that you could lose all of your money. You could lose some of your money, but not all of it. So that's the big trick. The big trick is to find find number one, find out what your attitude towards risk is. So this is one of the biggest lessons from today, is if you're looking to invest or save money other than in the bank deposit, you must carry out a risk assessment or a risk questionnaire on yourself. And if you Google risk questionnaires, most of the insurance companies and banks have those built in, like little calculators. So you answer, you can click on them, you can answer a series of questions, maybe five or six questions. And at the end of that process, there will be a rating for you, your attitude towards risk. And it's usually a number line between 1 and 7. 1 being absolutely really safe, to 7 being I'll gamble on 2 flies going up a wall. So somewhere along that number line between 1 and 7, that's where you lie. So let's say, for example, I put my details in and I end up being a 3. So then I look to the marketplace. Well, where can I find a risk rated 3 product? And that's where you start, okay? So then at least if you look to insurance companies, will have risk 3 rated products, or risk rated products as they call it. They usually have products rated from 2 to 6, depending on somebody's appetite or attitude towards risk. So you could look to insurance companies, or you can look to finance houses or investment houses where they would have regulated products that would give them a risk rating in the bracket that you come up on the scale. So look, I think to sum up, the lesson today is, the last time we spoke about actually making that start and changing your attitude, and like it's a cultural shift. Irish people are fantastic for saving money. They really are. And like if you look at the figures on the central bank website, Irish people have been paying down debt for the last 10 years. Household debt and everything has reduced and reduced and reduced and reduced. Irish people don't like owing money, okay? But that savings idea the last time of the 10%, you then have the challenge of finding, well, where do I put the 10%? And the first place to start is to do a risk profile or a risk assessment on yourself.
Do you think we'll ever get back to a government incentivized scheme like the SSIAs again? Now, I know it's a good, what do I want to say, about 15 years, is it, since
I think
the last
it,
one
it
came
in
about,
it? Was it 2002 or 3 or
it
something
was
like that?
In and around then, wasn't it? Do you ever think we're going to get to a place where, because there was for and against that. The for was obviously you paid X amount every week and you were guaranteed your money back plus 25% at the end of your 5-year term. Great, everybody's saving and you get a nice little lump sum at the end. But the against it is, obviously at the end of the 5-year period, you've got an influx of cash that's been pumped into the economy, and at some point that's going to flop. Would it be a good idea for the government to bring something like that back again?
Yeah, and there was rumours that they were going to do something similar as a kind of a retirement fund or pension type product, where they were going to encourage people to fund for retirement. I think the idea behind, was it Charlie McCreevy brought
that
in?
Yeah, it was,
I think.
Wasn't it?
I think
just
the idea,
before he went to Europe, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I think the idea behind that was that, you know, those kind of things help in an economy which potentially overheats, where you get, you know, huge overspending, both by the consumers and you know, by the state and infrastructural projects and stuff like that. So there is, I'm not sure if our economy is at that stage just yet. I think there's certain, like our economy, without getting really deep into it, has really got very protracted since the crash, where rich people have probably got richer, and then people that aren't so rich probably have stayed the same, or might have, you know, their situation hasn't really improved. So there is, you know, there's huge issues around housing, where most of the wealth in this country derived from was house values and house prices. And I don't think the economy is at the stage yet where there's a huge surplus of cash that people are looking to spend it on something. Because I think if there is a surplus, the first thing people are looking to do is put a roof over their head. Mm. So those products typically are designed to kind of stymie an overheating economy, you know, kind of quell spending a little bit, get people saving again. But I think the figures show that saving is, you know, Irish people are saving. They're paying down debt and they are saving. And a lot of people don't want to get into the situation they were in before.
Yeah.
But I suppose, look, to wrap up, the idea again is to, you know, if you do get on the savings ladder, which is brilliant, where do you put your money? You have to find investments or savings that suit your attitude towards risk. And if they don't suit your attitude towards risk, don't go there.
Yeah. And it's like anything. If you're not sure, pick up the phone and ring and get some advice from somebody.
Talk to your advisors, talk to your accountant, tax advisors, your financial advisors, you know, whoever it is you seek advice from. Talk your mam, your dad, your uncle, your aunt, your granny, you know, wherever you can get the advice, look for it.
Yeah.
Can I just ask you quickly, post office saving, any better than anywhere else? Is it dirt free?
Unfortunately, it has lost an awful lot of its gloss over the years. And it doesn't give me any pleasure to say it, but I think probably the best post office savings account now probably pays something in the region of about 1% per annum. Mm-hmm. And you must lock up the money for quite a long time. So the attraction really, again, you know, if you lend money to the state via the post office, which is technically what you're doing, mm-hmm. At least it's secure. Mm. And I mean, if you have a lot of money and you're getting 1%, fine. But I mean, if you're, you know, a reasonably small saver that might have a couple of thousand euros, you know, you're not going to get, you're tying up the money for quite a number of years and you're not getting much of a return. Prize bonds, actually, just one quick mention on prize bonds, are still, now they're hugely overly subscribed. Like there are gazillions of prize bonds purchased in this country. And the chances of you winning have seriously been reduced over the years because so many people have bought them. But you must remember that prize bonds, again, are a state-backed, 100% guaranteed product. So if you invest in a prize bond, you must keep it for 90 days and then you can cash it in and get your money back. But let's say, for example, you have a windfall and you have 50,000 euros, for example, right? And you decide, you know, I want someplace safe, but then I might have an opportunity to win some money. So you could put 50,000 into prize bonds. You'd get a lot of prize bonds spinning in the drum every month for your 50,000, and you just might be lucky. You just might be lucky. So some people pick up, people that have lots of money. I have clients now with hundreds of thousands of euros invested in prize bonds. Mm. And every month they pick up 50 here, 75, the odd 100, you know, the smaller prizes. Because they have so many prize bonds, they would pick up quite a lot of the smaller, little small prizes every month. And when they tot those up, they actually equate to quite a decent return on their money.
Very good.
So look, there's plenty of ways to skin a cat in this country if you have money to save. I suppose the message is get saving first. Secondly, get into a saving structure that meets your risk, your attitude towards risk. And then, you know, as you grow your savings, then more opportunities will come your way from the different products and funds and structures and things like that.
Well, Mel, as always, thanks a million for the advice. Don't leave us so long the next time,
no,
right?
I had to wait for the sunshine. The last day there's no sunshine. I brought the sunshine.
Good man.
Mel Shanley of Quantum Life. We'll get this information up in a podcast and stuff after. So if there's anything that you missed on it, just log on to www.cry104fm.com into the podcast and you'll be able to get all this information. Mel, we will talk to you in less than 4 weeks.
Thank
promise?
You. Promise. There very much. Thank you.